This is tape recording number 5106C27C, VP number 3, a tape recorded lecture given by L. Ron Hubbard on the 27th of June, 1951. The title of this lecture is Validation Processing. It is 67 minutes and 30 seconds long. Copyright C, 1951-1974 by L. Ron Hubbard. All world performance rights reserved. This recording has been re-recorded by the Flag Audio Unit of the Flagship Apollo of the C Organization. And now, here is L. Ron Hubbard.
You split the line that you're scanning. Very important to do so. Now, in all these techniques, there are two things to keep in mind. The validation of a technique is whether or not it steadily increases the efficiency of your preclear and his position on the tone scale. That's important. It might not seem important to some preclears, but it's really important to keep him coming on up the line. Your preclear may have the idea that the only thing he could possibly do is run engrams, run secondaries. Secondaries and engrams and secondaries, and that's all he's going to run for you, and that's the end of that, although you know damn well he's not doing well on this. Well, that's just tough. He's heard of running pleasure moments. Now, there are various ways of running these pleasure moments. Running a pleasure moment is another technique. You understand that, or where you start in at the beginning of the pleasure moment and take them through it perceptic by perceptic in an effort to try to do something with the perceptics. Just through one pleasure moment, and then take them back to the beginning of this and run them through it again, just like it was an engram. That's running pleasure incidents. And that's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the analytical side of a chain. It's any time he was analytical about something. And you straight wire that, or you scan it. You don't run them as incidents. You could, you understand, if you wanted to, but your guy isn't, if you're going to do that with him, he probably isn't able to move that well on the time track anyhow. All right. There's no limiter on this I know of. Beyond this fact, that if you find your preclear diving too quick into N theta while you're scanning a chain, and you leave alone lock scanning. You just leave lock scanning alone on that case and straight wiring through the stuff. And you'll get the same effects. Much more slower, but you'll get the same effect. In other words, don't treat your case heavier than you should be able to treat it. Now, all of the emphasis on processing, now, as I told you earlier, is bringing them on up the scale. That's important to you as auditors. Very important. Supposing you could work only the manifestation of 4.0. Supposing if that was all you were working. Boy, you'd really be living the life of Riley, wouldn't you? That'd be gorgeous. Never be diving into a lot of your stimulative and aberrative stuff. Bringing the guy up along the line and so on. It is to this hope that you could do this that validation technique was originated. Because of this. An auditor can sit there just so long running N theta out of people before he himself starts to get pretty turbulated. Unless he himself is getting plenty of processing. Now, we could work it out on the basis of the auditor getting plenty of processing. But very few auditors do get plenty of processing. As a result, then, there has been a considerable amount of research on my part in order to see what we could do with types of techniques which were not auditory stimulative. That is one of the reasons for lock scanning. That's a very definite benefit for lock scanning. The auditor can sit there and sort of, he doesn't get fed this stuff hour after hour. He's better off when he lock scans than when he runs engrams. Same way with validation processing. If the auditor very much has to be on the ball, he has to be very alert on a low tone scale person running validation processing. He has to keep that person communicating with him because that person may just start on up the analytical moments and then be off into the N theta and the auditor wouldn't know it. Its vocalization is required from the preclear on lots of this stuff. On straight wire particularly, the auditor has to be continually alert and informed as to what the preclear is doing. But if he's doing analytical moment stuff, he's handling theta. And an auditor who handles theta could handle it for 8 or 10 hours a day without showing much wear. As a matter of fact, the auditor himself would probably come on up the tone scale. I know pretty well what this will do this far. I hope in your hands it will increase greatly in efficiency, because I would like to see in Dianetics all of my friends at no lower level on the tone scale than 4.0 chronically. Exteriorization has something more that I should say about it. Evidently, from 2.0 down, you could say is introversion. And from 2.0 up is extroversion to some degree. I mean, you could just compartment that like you can compartment theta and n theta. There has to be a certain amount of theta available before the individual attack his own environment. It is sometimes much easier to attack the interior environment than the exterior environment. Have you ever heard of somebody saying, well, wait till I get to be a good release and then I'll do it? Yeah, easier to attack the interior environment. After all, one lived through that already than to attack the exterior environment. So above 2.0 is where you get attacks on the exterior environment. Now, that's a funny thing, but theta will change, mingle with, and conquer MEST. Theta will automatically do so. You get enough of a theta unit here, and MEST will move under it. You get enough of a theta unit there, and it'll be attracted over the top of MEST. You watch this happen. If there's not very much theta unit, it's liable to get attracted into N-MEST. It'll get interpolated by the existing N-theta, and it'll be into the N-MEST. That is not very complicated. M theta will turn into N mest, any mest which it touches. It will, very definitely. You watch what happens to the possessions of somebody below 2.0. Here's N theta, and boy, watch the resulting N mest. In the same way, theta will tend to maintain mest as mest, and even make mest out of N mest. So there's a correlation between extroversion, or handling and bringing order to one's environment, and introversion and bringing destruction and upset to one's environment. Now, I hope you don't think I'm throwing you a curve there, because that's really true. You get too much introversion, and the environment will really break down around the person's vicinity, his interpersonal relationships, his possessions. All of these other things will start to go to pot, almost mechanically. You hardly don't see any line of reason here at all. I mean, all of a sudden, this fellow finds himself with this upset and that upset and some other upset. He's become too introverted. If he's very extroverted, he will collect to himself mest. He'll throw 9/10 of it away, too, if he's got any good sense. Like the seasoned campaigner always carries about a 10-pound pack, and the rookie always has a 90-pound one. Theta will attack too much mest. It has to be checked in its activity. So I'm giving you this for a very good reason. Introversion, self-auditing, reactive, M-theta. These are synonyms. They're synonyms. And along with them go M-mest, M theta, confusion, and the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You want to be nicely successful and so forth in your profession, keep up above that 2.0 and keep well extroverted. Also, take your pre-clears and bring them up that tone scale and extrovert them just as fast as you possibly can. Then you'll get your bills paid. No, Hubbard is nothing if not practical. Even though he's so flat broke now, he'd step on a dime and tell whether it was heads or tails. This is what happens. Seriously, I mean, this isn't something I'm guessing against or about. This should alert you to something else, too. All you have to do to boot a person up the tone scale is to extrovert them. You gain half the band of the scale right there. Now, that's a pretty big jump, isn't it? So you extrovert them, you bring them up into the theta bracket. Now, if you want to fix up your pre-clear real good and fix up his environment so it'll really go to hell and fix up your own perimeter so it will too, just let him stay introverted and let him keep on being introverted. Boy, if there's anything that drives an auditor mad, is this guy who comes in with 995 words written every session, the beginning of every session, of the things he's thought up since you saw him last. He was just sure while he was sitting at dinner last night that he has a phrase which goes. And he made a note of it, but when he got home, he dreamed this and that, and he wonders whether or not. On and on and on. Notes, notes, notes. I kept a series of notes off of a pre-clear one time just out of sheer curiosity, wondering what the volume would grow to. Well, yeah, it was tremendous. I just kept throwing them into a drawer and throwing them into a drawer, thanking him, so on. That was before I found out that the reason they write you notes is because you haven't got the computation on the case. So I looked back into the drawer and said, well, that was a hell of a comment on my audit and on that pre-clear. All right. But if a fellow hasn't got a computation, that means that he mustn't be very analytical. If he's really analytical, he'll have a computation on his case. If he extroverts enough, he doesn't give a doggone whether he's got a computation on his case or not. He'll go on being audited. You may get the cycle and collapse sort of a thing where he's feeling so fine for a week that you might not see him, but he'll be back. You don't have to sell anybody on a long-term basis. You know what the devil, the world's going to end tomorrow anyway, and we've got a short-term basis, and that's good enough. If you can just work this well and work it well enough, you'll find out that you're turning out pretty doggone satisfied per session pre-clears. You're also doing a job of work. Don't think you're not. A lot of you are going to back off from this validation even after you fooled with it for a short time, for the good reason that it hasn't got enough blood and thunder in it. And that was why I started by telling you the difference between stage demonstrations and actual demonstrations. I think that you can probably, and this is merely an estimate, and it's not based on any data of any kind, think you could probably produce a good release faster by never touching any N theta. That would really be a stunt, wouldn't it? Yes? Yeah, there was some.
Any
difference? Yeah, there evidently was. Oh, as a matter of fact, for 36 hours of it, you're trying to measure up the difference between for 36 hours of this processing and 36 hours of the other.
No, I mean, you do it by maybe 6 hours a day for a week, you probably get a drop before that.
Oh, all during the 36 hours you'd get dropped. I hadn't checked these cases as close as I should have with the boys who were running. I know of three cases that were being monkeyed. Say something about that, will you, Dave? Do they what? As far as you know, there'll be several ups and downs during the week. How'd these boys finish up? We mustn't talk about it. Yes. Yeah, that's been more or less my observation, but I didn't want to say it. Well, I don't know. The world's going to end tomorrow anyway.
If I understand you correctly, you're getting the stabilized pre-clear at 4.0 or 3.9. And then run out the theta.
Well, theoretically, you want the theory on it. I would say I haven't processed anybody out this hole and run on this stuff, see? So I can just extrapolate. But actually, if I started in to process somebody right now on this level, I would simply just boot them on through all the way. Validation. I'd watch those engrams fold up by themselves. I'd fill them full of protein hydrolysate. You know, boom, and gee, you know, if they haven't got this, by the way, there's some other little point here. We didn't use this in the foundation on them. But there was some stuff once upon a time called guck. And a bunch of south ends of horses going north didn't bother to study this stuff or find out what it could do. They listened to a certain well-known medico who said, oh, it's no good. I saw a bottle of it once. Last fall, freewheeling, sudden death. You didn't put somebody through freewheeling, maybe it does them some good. But a guck-free wheel got the guck in trouble. Because the freewheeling wasn't as good as it should have been. And because freewheeling introverts the devil out of somebody. Of course, he's paying attention to stuff all over his body, so it isn't doing them the good that it should. But this has got nothing to do with guck. Last fall, I wrapped my paws around protein again and vitamins to find out what it could do. And I found out that it had collapsed circuit walls that couldn't be collapsed without it. I had to go all the way through this again because of the amount of turbulence that was thrown at it. I didn't appreciate this, but I went through it again. Now we find out in validation processing, evidently, no long series on this, it seems that the somatics will clip off, boil off, or go out faster when the preclear is on heavy protein and vitamin than when he is not. Now, we may have found at last and at long length the slot for guck. Protein hydrolysis would work out. I've noticed this. This is no long series of cases, but I have noticed this consistently, that you could bring a guy up to a point on guck, and the somatic could hang, off guck, no guck, you bring him up to a point and the somatic could hang up, and it'd stay hung up, and then you couldn't do anything more about the somatic, and then you'd feed him some guck, and whew, it'd feed, boil on through. It's a very strange sensation, by the way, to have a somatic that is going through just like molasses. I mean, the validation processing, you can hardly keep your mind off this doggone somatic. It's somebody who was chewing off your left ear when you were three, and you're going through all the happy times little boys smiled at you. You don't identify this thing, and all of a sudden this somatic is just going through just slow, and you can't do anything about it. And then throw about 30 grains of glutamic down your throat, about 100 milligrams of B1, something like that. Go over this chain again and have this somatic just go, just go on out. And anatin come off when it wouldn't before. Now, I don't mean to overestimate guck to you. I'm merely saying that it seems to develop and disperse somatics faster. And certainly it does this. It gives your preclear enough energy to run. But it also does this. Anybody who thinks that a little bit of B1 and a lot of glutamic acid is the thing to do is asking for a nice case of DTs. The data at hand seems to indicate that lots of glutamic acid and not quite enough B1 will produce nightmares and upsets far in excess of merely taking no B1. And theoretically, you could throw a guy into DTs by feeding him nothing but glutamic acid. A ratio which is apparently safe on this, and I'm not prescribing this, I'm merely mentioning, seems to be about 25 grains of glutamic and about 100 milligrams of B1. That heavy a milligram slug, 100 milligrams of B1. But 10 or 20 milligrams of B1 and 20 to 30 grains of glutamic will produce hallucination. It will cut down reality. With enough B1 content in there, you heighten reality. By the way, there seems to be indicated that people can do better straight wire. It's clear, and the reality level is greater with enough B1 and glutamic. We've got it down along the level of about where it belongs. You can do without it quite well, and you can do with it quite well. And it's better to have it than not to. It's not going to, with one shot, produce a clear. I can give you a couple of experts on that. Street and Bile are sitting back there. They've been monkeying with it. What's the question again? It's the same thing. Yeah, I can answer that myself. I don't have to refer to an expert. It's the same thing, except glutamic acid is only one of the aminos, you see. And protein hydrolysis would be several, about 9 or 10 of the aminos compounded.
Well,
Somebody mentioned to me there's an outfit by the name of Stewart's that puts out an amino acid hydrolysate in a yellow pill. Yeah. Yeah.
If they aren't all present simultaneously, the body will throw out the others. There is no utilization unless all of the essential ones are present simultaneously.
Yeah, there's quite a bit on this subject of nutrition, so forth, during processing. Of course, you know one of the sure and certain ways to spin a guy is the reverse side of that one. Is just feed him on a little bit of coffee, a little bit of sandwiches, kind of irregularly, and go on and process him hour in and hour out through lots of N-theta, and then carry him off to the sanitarium. He'll spin just as nice, or keep him up all night long. Or when the guy is so tired he can't even move, he's got a terrific somatic in his elbow, and he keeps begging that you do something about this somatic because he's disturbed, and you go into the case and start to do something about it. And then they cart him off to the spin bin. Auditing when a pre-clear is too tired. Auditing when a pre-clear is too hungry. Auditing when a pre-clear is suffering from any part of malnutrition is dangerous. Oh, sure. Well, I take it for granted that, as a matter of fact, your pre-clear will go around and start getting hungry for things like ascorbic acid and so forth. You should throw a balanced vitamin ration in on top of it. There ought to be not only B complex, but there ought to be in limited doses, non-toxic doses, A and D. And there's a whole array of those things that are put together in tablets. These are not important in the tremendous quantities, but they're still important. B1 has got to be there, though, by super, super quantity.
This is going back to volume processing a moment. But if you recover a secondary, let's say it's a little farther along this line, the secondary pops up, you're running, it's been occluded, it's been clarified. Now, this
established
a new reality. How about running this
again and again? What do you mean by running this? After
the secondary
has been reduced as such, next thing you have to run
the same some more.
And
the reality of
generally isn't necessary.
Well, I'm wondering if
it will
be
an
8 along the validation line.
Not particularly. No, not if I understand you right. You shouldn't be running that secondary unless it'll exhaust, and after it's exhausted, so what? Still want a demonstration. Thought if I talk long enough, I could talk you out of it. I want you to try this validation processing very definitely. I will take somebody here right now that has a light somatic that's been turned on by auditing and give you a short demonstration if you wish. Who's got a light somatic turned on by auditing? Nobody's been audited, evidently. Who's got a headache? You have? All right, come on up.
I'm not going to have him sitting down.
I mean lying down because we're not out for blood. Where's the somatic?
It's just kind of general over the top of the
head. Where are you on the tone scale?
Oh.
Okay, 4.0. Now, why is it that you won't talk to people?
I guess I've been doing too much self-auditing.
Have you been doing self-auditing?
Yes,
I Who have. Started self-auditing with you?
I started myself.
Who started it? What started it? When did it start?
Well, I read that paper on E-therapy, and I talked to several people.
That's great stuff, E-therapy. You realize that. You remember the pleasure of your reading the paper?
Yes.
Remember something else you read that gave you a lot of pleasure?
Yeah, I thought of a book that I read.
How about a scientific book?
Yeah, I read a new Dianetics book.
And what about this book on E-therapy?
That was just a little pamphlet that I read.
And it's talked about what? Fire clearing of the left tibia?
No, it talked about that probably self-auditing was all that was really necessary.
Sure. Necessary to do what, though?
To run engrams act, so.
All right. Now, you remember reading this?
Oh, vaguely.
Do you remember reading a pamphlet like it once?
Well, I read Naylor's paper previous to that.
Well, let's go way back, the ancient history. Remember reading a book on psychoanalysis?
Yes, I read some of Freud.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes, quite much.
All right. Well, let's see. We've got to make up our mind what we're tackling here. Are we going to cure you of self-auditing, or are we going to cure this headache?
We started off with a headache. Whatever you want to do, either one. I can probably cure myself of the self-auditing now that I have.
How could you do it?
Well, I figured probably it was this. You talked about phrases having something to do with it in the engram bank. I have some meanings about it's up to you, Frank, that sort of thing. And probably I felt that wasn't making enough headway quite, and the foundation, some of the new techniques didn't seem to be quite enough, and that probably it was up to me to help explore these other things, do a little research work on them. Mm-hmm. I felt that I was stable enough that I could risk the possible dangers of it. I realized it was dangerous.
It isn't dangerous, it's uncomfortable. Another human being spends on it. Of course, trained auditors are kind of scarce, but out in the society, it's not looked upon as being particularly reprehensible for somebody to spin somebody.
Yeah.
Give us a flash now. Give us a flash. Is there a chain on which this headache is located?
Yes.
What is the name of this chain?
Birth.
Do you have any children?
No, I'm not married. None to speak of.
When was birth run?
It's one of these section deals. I've run it for 50 hours, I guess.
How long has the headache been with you?
Off and on for the last several days.
Last several days?
Yeah.
All right, shut your eyes. Let's go back to a pleasant moment just a few days ago before this thing turned on.
All right. Want me to tell you about it?
Sure.
I'm in Hagerstown, Maryland with two other people that I audit with.
All right, when did they mention birth?
I don't recall them mentioning it.
Do they mention it at all?
Oh, yes. I had previously run a section of birth in which I rocked back and forth very heavily from one side to the other, and it didn't.
It was interesting?
It seemed strange to me. I didn't realize that you would do that. And Hank Billings says that, well, yeah, mine is the same way. I am a section the same way.
Mm-hmm. All right. Are those people with you now?
No, they're in Hagerstown. I'm looking forward to seeing them.
Well, let's run over a few pleasant moments with those people there. I mean, a few analytical moments, okay?
All right.
Did you see them after this?
Yes.
All right. Through any analytical moment that you were with them after this conversation, begin scanning. What's happening?
I just kind of get little bitsy flashes of different things that I enjoyed. Very just skim, but.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's it. I sort of went back beyond that time, too, with some earlier times. But.
All right, tell me when you're all the way up to Iowa.
All right, I'm up now.
All right, let's go back to the first time you met them and scan through a lot of pleasant moments with them.
All right.
Present time?
Yeah.
Okay. All the way up to
pleasant time?
Yes.
All right, open your eyes. Has this headache changed any?
Seems a little lighter. I still have it. It wasn't very strong to start with.
So. All right, shut your eyes. Is there a birth chain of locks succeeding your own birth?
Yes.
Are analytical moments available on this chain?
Yes.
Can we pick up an early one?
Yes.
Tell me when you contacted it.
I don't know where I am. I keep saying yes sometimes.
All right, let's see if we can contact an early analytical moment relating to the subject of being born. I don't want the physical pain engram of birth. Tell me when you get an early incident there. Anything about birth is pleasant. A birth, a picture of a baby, anything like that.
All right.
All right, from there through all such moments to present time, begin scanning.
I get kind of a funny feeling like I don't see anything much. It seems sort of round and dark, kind of queer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in present time now.
All right. Can we contact an early analytical moment on the subject of being born?
Yes.
All right. Tell me when you're there. All right, you tell me the moment that you slide off into anything unpleasant on this chain, okay?
All right.
All right, therefore, to present time, begin scanning.
A moment just then.
Hmm?
I slipped off into a moment. I went by something just then.
All right, just through analytical moments now.
Yeah.
Better name each one that you come to.
Well, I think I started as a child talking with my sisters. You know how kids will when they start finding out about where babies come from, that sort of thing. New information on the subject, number of instances of this. And I come on up to the children around the neighborhood, and my sister has a baby several years ago. Brother has a baby last year.
Give him a lot of pleasure?
Yes. Pretty good kid.
Okay. Can you?
I take pictures of this baby here a few months ago. And again, I decide on more pictures of it.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the pictures, they come out fairly good. And I'm on up to present time.
Present time?
Yeah.
Open your eyes. How
you
feel?
I feel pretty good.
How'd
you It's just a real faint headache still. It was real faint to start with.
Is it fainter or stronger?
It's last time it was fainter, now I believe it's a little stronger.
Shut your eyes. All right, let's return to the beginning of analytical moments concerning headaches. What did you get at that moment?
I don't have headaches. Talking as a child with people complaining about headaches and me being happy that I never have them. Different people saying, I got a headache, and I think, oh boy, I never get one. I'm glad I'm not like you, because you got a headache all the time. That would be awful. Sometimes when I'm sick, I get a little mild headache. It never meant anything. Oh, mostly this comes up when people say I've got a headache, and I think, oh boy, I don't get them. I used to go with the girl that had headaches all the time. Poor thing. I remember a fellow had migraine headaches. He told me about it, and I was very sympathetic, but I was glad I didn't get them. Then I remember I don't have Sinetics very heavily. Usually I didn't used to, and I had a headache one time in Dianetics. bad. I thought I'd get off Don Daddy. And I was kind of glad of that because it really raised my sense of reality about diabetics. And I've been running a preclear that has headaches all the time.
You remember something pleasant about this preclear?
Yeah?
Something real pleasant? Something analytical that you appreciate about this preclear?
Well, she's pretty nice, but she's in awful shape. I remember one time when she improved a little bit when after I was running her. I thought that was pretty nice. She talked real rational. Just seemed like her old self again. She's a neighbor. Really felt, oh boy, I've done something there now. She's a neighbor. She used to be very good to me. I'd go and she'd feed me cake and milk and stuff. I used to go to see her pretty often. She was telling me, some of her pleasure moments interested me very much. She was telling me about going to Wisconsin, going swimming, and I love to swim, and this, I practically relived her pleasure moment. She was, with her, she had one of my favorite school teachers, who I hadn't seen for a long time, very, very pretty girl, who had been at school, my school teacher. And recalling her to mine was very pleasant.
Tell me when you're in present time.
All right, I'm present time.
Open your eyes.
It's still there.
Is it as heavy as it was right straight through?
It's shifted a little bit. It's more back here. It's not as much. It was more all over, and now it's kind of shifted.
Okay. Now, shut your eyes. All right. What's the name of the next chain that we should run for this headache?
It says headache.
Is that the name of the chain?
Yes.
Can we pick up an analytical moment about headaches early on the chain? Yes or no?
No.
Can we pick up an analytical moment about your head feeling good?
Yes.
All right, let's contact that as early as possible.
All right.
All right, from there forward to present time through all such analytical moments, begin scan.
I'm swimming. I dive in the water time after time, and I like the feel of it. Water, cool, and I come up to times in groups when I feel very raised up, very stimulated, very clear-headed. I'm up to present time.
Okay. Should we scan this chain again?
No.
Is there, how's your head?
It's lighter.
All right. Has it changed position any?
A little bit. It kind of went from way towards the back, sort of right in the middle.
Okay. What is the name of the chain we should scan now?
Says headache.
All right. Can we pick up an early analytical moment on this chain?
Yes.
Tell me when you're there.
I'm there.
Now, who has the headache?
Says I have.
Not, all right.
Not there. I'm diving in the water. Down to cry hole. The water's cool on it.
Feel good?
Yeah. Feel a little cool across the face here, not on top.
Mm-hmm. All right. You might have to change contacting moments, analytical moments, when your head felt good now. Can you do that?
Yeah.
All right. Therefore, at the present time, begin scanning.
Wind blowing in my face. I think of kissing the girl and their face against mine and dancing.
Mm-hmm.
I think of a lot of times I've been dancing with girls. All right, times when the pillow felt good when I go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Tell me when you're in present time.
All right, in present time.
Okay. How's your head now?
It's still kind of...
Where is it?
It's very faint, but it's kind of like this.
Where is it? What does it feel like?
I don't I don't know. It's just like that, only they're heading just like that. It's kind of in the cross skin side like.
All right. What chain is this headache?
Headache, it's that.
All right. Is there a specific type of headache?
No.
Is there a specific thing which causes this headache?
Yes.
Can the name of that flash?
No.
All right. Are there more analytical moments on the headache chain?
Yes.
Can you contact those?
Yes.
All right, contact the first one. Tell me what it is.
I'm thinking that's not... Just I'm talking with people, a friend of mine that I like about, but he's telling me about his mother having, this doesn't sound so good, having, taking headache powders off a lot, making her get in trouble. I guess again, I think I'm glad I don't have that. But I liked the association with the people at the time was very pleasant. They're radio amateurs. I'm in high school.
Is the location of that headache shift any as you go through this?
Yeah.
Where is it? What's it do?
It went a little bit farther back. Some of this dropped out.
All right. Continue on forward through all such analytical moments.
I think of Eric Fennell telling me about his migraine having gone away and death of back. And I think of a friend of mine back home who had a lot of trouble with migraine. I'm going to tell about this when I see him. I do see him, call him up on the phone rather, tell him about it, but he's got them fairly well under control. Think about my sister Ann telling me about how she's had trouble with headaches and she's gotten straightened out.
Well, are you glad? Is there a moment there when you were glad somebody had a headache?
No, but I'm glad I didn't. And I'm glad something can be done to help them not have them. Maybe there is a moment, like you asked me. But this girl I used to go with used to fly off the handle pretty quick. And then she'd get a headache. I guess sometimes I thought it served her right. She'd control herself a little better if she wouldn't get the headache. It seemed to have gone down a good deal with that. It went down quite a bit.
There you go.
It went down quite a lot when I started laughing. I guess this headache's really longer than just the last few days. I started this self-auditing several weeks ago, and it was pretty effective at first, but it's gotten worse. I had quite a bit of stuff at first and felt a lot better. And then it got so I noticed my kind of would be messed up right much of the time. I wondered why that was. I figured I was trying to get this stuff run out and then I would straighten it out. I didn't seem to be able to do some things that I thought I should have been doing, like some writing and letter writing and so on. I'd keep putting them off all the time and dig into this self-audit thing pretty heavy. I'd still run good standard procedure, though. Didn't bother me about 4 to 6 hours a week. But then it just seemed to kind of bog down like it. I didn't seem to be getting as much stuff off as I was at first. And I thought, well, I don't know whether I'm getting too far with this now. I have to figure out some more things about it. I got a letter from a friend of mine who said that he didn't know much anything about self-authoring. He's just read the book and thought it a little bit. But he's very high analytical person. And I got a letter from him just a short while ago in which he said he would tell his selector to contact obscure incidents at night when he'd go to sleep and refile in the standard memory bank. When he would gradually, over a period of several months, he'd become much more efficient. His problems seemed to be solved before they become problems. Told me to throw away my crystal set and get a super heterodyne. He wrote me some, I figure that might work for him, but it doesn't work for me like it does for him.
Does he have a car?
Yeah.
You might write and ask him what condition his car's been in lately.
Okay.
Okay, tell me when you're in present time.
I'm in present time.
How's your head?
It's better. It's definitely better.
Well, where's the vein particularly?
It's still just very faint and right kind in the center. Mm-hmm. It's not around anywhere. It's right in the center.
I remember a time when it felt good to have something on your head in that area.
No.
Remember somebody rubbing your hair? It felt good.
Yes.
Who is it?
Sister Barbara.
What's she doing?
She was just rubbing it, working, massaging it.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
Did she do it another time?
Yes, and an aunt did it several times.
Do you like the aunt?
No. Sounds all a little bit. One of these changeable things.
Mm-hmm. All right. Remember somebody else who touched your head?
Yeah.
Now I remember another time when you had a good head sensation.
Yeah. I used to have awful lot of trouble with dandruff, and a couple months ago it went away. That was very exciting.
How's your head feel?
It feels better.
Is there any somatic hair loss?
The wee little bit, yeah.
Where is it located?
It's the same place, only it's just fainter.
Oh, I see. Well, now, what did you used to like to do with your head?
I used to wrestle some. I used to like to bridge and then turn over.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that kind of creased on my head right there.
Was it fun?
Yeah, I was pretty good at it.
Pretty good at it. Remember somebody saying you were pretty good at it?
Yeah.
Do you remember the way the place looked?
I remember one instant, several times I was down there.
Felt good?
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's recall a recent incident when your head felt good.
Lying down on the pillow last night, I was pretty sleepy. It felt good.
Felt good?
Yeah.
All right. Tell me when you're in present time.
I'm in present time.
How's your head feel now?
It's much fainter.
Where's the somatic?
Well, it's a little bit on top of the head where I was.
It's changed a little bit. Location.
Yeah, it's lifted up over the top.
All right, then what is the name of the chain this one is on?
This is wrestling.
All right, remember the time when you won about?
Yes.
Remember a time when you really wanted to wrestle?
Yes.
Now, remember a time when you gave somebody else a good fall, solid?
Haven't got that.
When you gave somebody else a fall?
Yes, I remember pinning them. Mm-hmm. The term fall is confusing to me. What do you mean by that?
You pinned them?
Yeah.
What were they doing when you pinned them?
I had a 3/4 on them, I think they call it. No, I forget the name of it.
How'd you feel when you did this?
Good.
How good?
Yeah.
How's your headache?
It's better.
Has it shifted any?
Yeah, it's spread out. It's faint, very faint, but it's right on top and it's spread out.
What's the name of the chain this is on?
Wrestling.
All right. You remember the way a wrestling ring looks?
Yeah.
Remember how it smells?
Yeah.
Do you remember a guy that looked real good when he was wrestling?
Yeah.
How about a real good fall you saw? I mean, somebody pinned. A real, real good job of work was done on it.
Yeah. The same fellow.
What's the realest moment that you can find on that chain?
Wrestling with currents, I think.
Hmm?
Wrestling with currents.
Yeah.
He's a varsity wrestler. I guess this is sort of a little bit painful, but I was enjoying it. He had the scissors on me, and he couldn't make me give up. Yet he was Southern Conference wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
I was sort of proud of being able to stand up against him.
What's the greatest affinity you felt on that chain?
I used to be very fond of this one other boy. We used to wrestle an awful lot.
What's the best piece of communication you can find on that chain?
I have trouble finding this.
Oh, how about some good advice about wrestling?
Yeah, well, I have a piece of it, I guess.
Hmm?
I have a piece of good communication.
You got a piece of good communication? Yeah. All right. How's your head?
It's very good, but...
Very good, but what?
Well, just a wee little bit.
Just a wee little bit. What's the name of the chain that's on?
There's wrestling.
All right. Is there a particular moment, an analytical moment, you can now remember that'll lessen it further?
Yes.
When I count from 1 to 5, it'll flash.
I'm weighing in on the scale.
All right. When I snap my fingers again, another high reality moment will flash about wrestling.
I'm getting ready to wrestle a fellow named Davalos. He looks a lot bigger than I do.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's have another moment on that chain.
I'm out wrestling out on the grass several years later, wrestling a fella who had he'd wrestled 165 and he weighed a good deal more than I did. And he was a varsity wrestler. And I pinned him, which made it feel very good because I haven't forgotten how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember throwing somebody throws a watermelon at. In order to divide it up, we didn't have a knife. They just threw it and it broke up, and we went out and picked up the pieces and ate it that way. It's a picnic, what it is,
mm-hmm.
at the Ailes. It's a meadow with a stream of water going.
All right. What else do you recall on the subject?
I remember being out at the park with girls showing that I could do this turning again.
Mm-hmm.
Showing this bridging business again.
How about another one? Another incident.
In college, showing some of the boys about wrestling. So a couple instances of this. Once in the dormitory, several other times up in the gymnasium.
All right. Is there another chain?
Yes.
What's the name of that?
Headache.
Headache chain. Now, can we remember some analytical moments on the headache chain?
Yes.
Let's contact the earliest moment, such moment that we can recall. Tell me when you're there.
I keep getting the same incident that I had before.
Okay, from there forward, through all such moments, present time, begin scanning.
It seems hard to pick up analytical moments around this headache, because I've got it. Have it a little up myself, and we've been talking about it so much, I keep thinking about me having headaches now all the time.
All right, let's remember analytical moments. Just analytical.
It's hard to think of any like that.
Do you remember when you dumped this fellow on his head?
I remember turning people up on their head, that one position through the crotch like animals on their head.
Mm-hmm. I remember the next time you did that?
Yeah, I used that often. I knew how to work that pretty well.
Uh-huh. When were you very glad that you dumped somebody on his head?
I don't seem to be glad anymore. This thing just seems closing down on me like...
What's closing down on you?
Well, all I want, this headache business just seems to be... More times like when I have headaches.
All right, let's remember the time you stepped on this wrestler's head.
I didn't step.
Remember this guy that they know.
I keep trying to
Kind of what?
I keep trying to get times when somebody, when they had scissors on my head, squeezing it.
Now, let's be analytical about this. do you remember a time when you threw somebody in the goalpost? Great satisfaction.
I don't get satisfaction out of hurting people.
You remember a good shower you took once after being wrestled?
Yes.
Pleasant?
Very clear.
Pleasant, cheerful shower? You remember talking with somebody in the shower room one time?
Yeah.
And when'd you get some new wrestling gear?
I just wore one pair of pants all the way through. No, I got a pair of sweatpants, that's right. That was new.
When did the coach really compliment you about wrestling?
I don't remember the coach complimenting. I remember some of the other boys.
What'd they say?
The coach said I should get mad. The other boy said I was one of the best, one of the strongest. I remember towards the end of the season, said it was one of the strongest wrestlers.
All right. You recall them? Particular boy saying this? He gave you a lot of pleasure?
I can't get his name, but I have a very good impression of him. Terrence Coughlin, I think his name was. Yeah, Coughlin.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the realest moment you can find on the wrestling chain?
It's not a pleasant moment. It's, it doesn't seem very, none of it seems pleasant anymore.
Well, you recall this time when you had a good rub down. Rubber rubs you down.
No, the rubber never rubbed me down. I just seem to get more unpleasant times all the time.
All right. Can you recall a time when you were very, very glad to get a new hat?
No, I hated hats. I very seldom wore them.
You remember a time when you didn't have to wear one?
Yeah, oh boy. I had to go to, I went to a military school one year, BMI. When I got out of that joint, oh boy.
What'd you do?
No more hat.
Did you? Interesting.
Yeah, long pants on, big cane. I'm about 10 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
Sign advertising.
All right. Remember when you destroyed a hat?
No.
You remember when you said you had lost a hat, but you had really torn one up?
I don't ever remember tearing one up.
Do you remember somebody feeling very sad and sorry about your hat?
When I was about 4 years old, it blew out of the window once, and we had to stop. It's Old Model T.
Yeah?
We had to stop and go back and get it. It was Daddy's hat. I had a big head, and I used to wear his hats when I was a little kid.
Uh-huh.
And it blew out the window once.
Who had to stop?
Daddy was driving, and he stopped. Gray, I guess my brother, probably went back and got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like to wear it then, I guess. I was just as glad it went because it was too big for me and came down over me.
Yeah.
I sort of thought I had a big enough head to wear his hats, but it wasn't big enough.
All right. You remember some pleasant moment about your father?
Yeah.
Remember a pleasant moment when your father patted you on the head?
No.
Hmm?
I don't believe he ever patted me on the head.
Remember when he bought you a new hat?
No.
Hmm?
I never would wear hats.
I remember a time when he said that was a good thing not to wear hats.
No.
Remember when he said you had good judgment?
I overheard him say something about it came secondhand that he had said. That I guess Mother told me that he had said that Frank was the only one that seemed to understand anything about money, have any sense about money. That made me feel good.
Your father fond of you?
Yes, I feel that he was very fond of me.
Mm-hmm. Remember a moment when there was a great deal of affinity with your father?
Yes, I can.
I remember a moment when there was a lot of affinity with your mother.
Well, there ought to be a terrible lot here, but I just hit my head or two and sort of lowered it a little bit.
What happened?
I just ran an AA or two not too long ago. Mother's a very kindly person. I guess I was the fourth in line.
Mm-hmm. Well, remember the time when you felt some affinity for her?
Yeah.
Can you re-experience it?
The thing that came to me was pretty young. It's a little vague.
When did you find some good communication with your mother?
Talking to her about things down at the warehouse. She talks about those things very well.
Remember when she agreed with you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Remember when you were right in spite of her?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Remember when you were refused to take her advice and you were right about it?
Yes.
Do you recall when she was very happy to take your advice?
Yes.
Remember a time when you gave her some money?
I returned some. I borrowed from her or loaned some. To
remember
her
a time when you gave her some?
No.
Remember a time when you got angry with her?
Just very mild.
Do you remember a time when you would like to have gotten angry with her?
Yes.
Do you remember a time when she was scared of you?
Yes.
Do you remember a time when she felt very sorry because of you?
Well, sort of.
What was she saying?
Well, when my brother and I first came back from the Army, it took a little while to get adjusted. And I had a lot of ideas that were different, unconventional, that were upsetting to her because she got used to me.
Mm-hmm. Remember a specific moment when she was feeling very sorry?
Yes, I remember one time. She ordered me out of the house. I knew if I would go, she would feel very sorry about it since she thought it over.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I didn't go.
All right. Tell me now. Are you in prison time?
Yes.
How's your head?
It feels pretty good. Just a little bit.
Where is this somatic now?
It's kind of on the surface line.
Mm-hmm. Has this changed around any?
Yeah.
How many positions has this somatic been in since this?
Lord, about six, I guess.
Well, let's figure out the number of positions the somatic was in.
Well, it started out all over, general. And then the next thing, it went towards the back here.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing it went was here. And the next thing, it was in the center on the head. And then the next thing, it rose up from in the center up to the top. And then I forgot about it for quite a while, and now it's kind of shifted back like that, sort of on the surface. Mm-hmm. Well, there's one more. It was on the top right in the center, and then it was on the top spread out more.
How many headaches were here?
Six.
Okay. How many chains would we have to run to get all the rest of them?
Ten.
All right. Well, that served its purpose. And thank you very much for being a good preacher.
Of course, you ought to stuff these ears before I say something about them.
I want to make sure you just understand this, and then we'll...